Hello, welcome to Interview in Indies. I'm the host, Burr, where we interview indie developers. And today I'm joined by CEO of Hungry Couch Games, Konstantin.
Hello, guys.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today. There's a lot to talk about with you. So I guess first and foremost, how did you get into game development?
It's a long story, but I make it short. Yeah, and thank you for calling me for this. I was working as a UI designer, UI UX designer in one company, and I was working on one website and then on the design of the app. And while I was working on this company, I was making my own game. I always like making games, but I never tried it by myself. So, like, in the childhood, I love to make the games on paper, you know. And I have two brothers, and I forced them to play my games. I don't know if I can say forced. They wanted to play my games, so... Yeah, there was some strange games on the paper, and the big barrier for me was the programming part, because it's not simple. One day I just decided I want to program games. I need to educate myself in programming, so I started with a Game Maker engine. It was, I think, easy, probably, if you compare to C# and C++, Game Maker language is easy. It's more like Java, I think. I don't know any languages besides Game Maker. So, when I started to learn the programming, I started to making my first attempts making games, and when I was working in this company as a designer, I started my first serious project. It was Black Skylands, the game about it's top-down shooter when you can shoot and run on your legs, and you can seamlessly ride some your sheep. And flow between the floating islands, so it's like an open world game. It's the first mistake of every game developer, not to make
an open world game complex.
yeah exactly. I was making the open world game, so I was working on Black Skylands I think 1 year, and I wasn't looking for publisher or investments or something. I was doing it by myself, for myself. So one day I will release it, and maybe it will be interesting for someone, maybe not. And one day I was posting the important detail. I was posting all my process in social media, and one day Tiny Bill producer texted me in one social network, he saw my post and he liked how my game looks. He asked for a demo or some prototype, and I said, of course, yes. I sent him a prototype. He liked it, and he proposed to discuss. Maybe I want to publish the game with Tiny Bill. Yeah, and it was when I was on the work in office. Yeah, and I remember this moment. I was on the meeting. It was stand up or something, and I stood up. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. And no one was understanding why I'm so happy.
No one knew why you were so happy. But I was going to ask, how did you get to Tiny Build? But it's just you had your game demo out there for Black Skylands and they just reached out to you?
Yeah, yeah. This really, really rare situation when a publisher saw your videos of your process for game development and he reached you out. Yeah, I'm the lucky.
Yeah, that is very lucky because I hear a lot of people pitch a lot of games to a lot of publishers and they never get any luck. So that answers that question right away. That's pretty incredible. But currently you are the CEO of Hungry Couch Games. So that happened after you already became published by Tiny Build?
When he reached me out, so we discussed everything and we decided to open the small studio of game development. We're developing Black Skylands, publish it with Tiny Build, and maybe then we will publish more games with Tiny Build, so on. We discussed some budget to open the studio, rent the office, find some employee. We started in 2019, I think. There was five employee at the beginning, and then we slowly was growing to 16 people in 2023, I think. And all this time we were working on Black Skylands.
Yeah, so you had a small team at first, and when Black Skylands fully released, which was August 15th of 2023, just last year, you had a whole team of 16 people working on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And now you're obviously developing Drill Core, which comes into early access on September 12th. But with Drill Core being the main focus, after Black Skylands released, how many developers were focused on Black Skylands for bugs and updates? And how many people were focused on Drill Core if you had the idea already in mind?
So I need to tell about one moment in the studio history. So yeah, when Black Skylands released, then there was hard times, when maybe you remember, it's still going. So studios are closing.
Or every week it seems like.
Yeah, they fire an employee and so on. So at one moment, again, I'm not sure I can tell every detail. So
no worries.
We had to fire almost all the team, and now there are only four employees. Yeah, and we are making Drill Core on Game Maker because Black Skylands was on Unity, and now we're working on Game Maker because I know Game Maker really well. I can program in Game Maker. Yeah, we decided to move to the Game Maker, and one of the reasons was because Drill Core prototype was made by me. I was making it by myself, so I could tell about the process when we were looking for the next project, if it's interesting.
Oh yeah.
So there was a moment we know that Black Skylands will release in 3 months, and we need to think about what do we need to do next. So about next our game, and I decided we can split into different teams, 16 people. We split it in three small teams, and every team was making their prototype of the next game. Yeah, and in my team, I was alone. And two more teams. So yeah, we did three prototypes. We sent it to publish it in a build. They watched it, producers, the CEO, they watched every prototype. They give us feedback. and drill core. Everyone was like drill core, so we decided to move on with drill core.
I definitely love drill core. I only got to play a demo of it during a Steam Next Fest, but that game, I was addicted to that one immediately.
cool, thanks. Yeah, I love to play drill core as well. I need to play drill core because I'm developing, so
yeah,
I need to
do everything with it.
There's a balance in it, so yeah, but I still love it. So,
you started drill core by yourself while everyone else was doing their own prototypes and finishing up Black Skylands. You started the idea first.
Yeah. Before that, there was another prototypes. Like 1 year ago, I was working on, more than 2 years ago, I was working on another prototype. It was side scroller with the stealth. I really liked the concept. I made a prototype. I really like it, but no one was so.
No one else was on board with that one. A stealth side-scrolling game. I mean, maybe after Drill Core releases, but you're releasing Drill Core in the early access, so there's probably going to be a lot of content to worry about that to add to it constantly.
Yeah. And so I was talking about. I don't know why, but I don't know how to say it. So Drill Core prototype was made in like 3 weeks.
Really,
it's really fast. I don't know if it's my superpower or everyone can do that, but in Unity, it makes much more time. I don't know why. Probably because C Sharp is much more complex than GameMaker language, but this was a really good point for a publisher when they see that we can do a game like in 2 times faster than on Unity, and why not try and making games on GameMaker, and they tell me that so I can decide if we go on with Unity or GameMaker. I decided, let's try GameMaker, why not? Because GameMaker is, now it's a really good engine. You can develop game for every platform. I think GameMaker is really good, and we develop on GameMaker really fast.
Did everyone on your team know how to use GameMaker when you started Drill Core? Because you said you made Black Skylands in Unity. I imagine it wasn't too much of a difference, right?
About GameMaker, we decided after we dismissed almost all studio. Yeah, that was one of the reasons why we switched to GameMaker, because time to learn GameMaker for programmers who program on C Sharp, it's probably too much, and they don't really want it, because GameMaker, it's like when you're a programmer in C Sharp and then switch to GameMaker, it's not like a growth of you as a professional. It doesn't look sounds like that. So I don't think they was happy to do that. So it was after we after the period we fired.
Now I have one more question about Black Skylands before we can fully dive into Drill Core, and it's just a curiosity question that I've had, and it's that I've noticed you can buy it in a bundle with another game published by Tiny Build with Graveyard Keeper. I imagine those bundles, they're just made by the publisher, and you don't really do have a say in those.
Yeah, that's true. So no, they reached out to the developer. So Graveyard Keeper is published by Tiny Build, but Lazy Bear Games not working with. I'm not gonna Yeah, I don't know everything about this. So Domekeeper was, not Domekeeper, Gravekeeper was developed by, it was published by TinyBuild. So yeah, they just reach out the developers and they ask like, we want to make a bundle. Are you okay with that? So they are, no problem. Because we're now making bundle with one more TinyBuild game. It's called The King is Watching. Pretty nice game. I love the concept of it. So, yeah.
All right. I always see those bundles and it's just like, man, who makes these bundles? But I just guess publishers do it or maybe developers reach out to each other. But that's nice to know.
Yeah, usually if it's one publisher, so it's no problem. But if it's two separate publishers, they can still reach out to each other, and it's good for everyone. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, yes, share the game with multiple people. I know that's a good deal. I've been looking at it ever since I started doing the research on Black Skylands. Now, with Drill Core, it's going to be in early access, like we said. Do you feel the balancing could be hard to keep up with because you have so many buildings and turrets and then the miners, the collectors, the gunners? Do you feel it'll be hard to keep up with everything feeling fair and not overpowered on different difficulties?
Yeah. The first thing when I made the prototype, I noticed that the balance will be the main, not a problem, but the main focus, the most complex thing in the game. Because yeah, balancing this game is really hard. So I think we are doing pretty well, to be honest. Because yeah, I made a lot of adjustments. I'm not sure I can tell everything about that, but yeah, there was. It's more complex than it seems. So it's not. There are enemies at the night, and they are coming, and it's not made like every night. You're getting more and more. There are some formulas, and yeah, we're watching different characteristics, different buildings. How much do you have that? Maybe how much damage you deal and you receive. So yeah, the game balancing itself, I'll say.
That definitely seems like the hardest thing to keep up with in a game like that is all that balancing. But then you're also having some roguelite elements in there with upgrades after a run. Was that an easier part of the process than you expected, or is that kind of like balancing where it's kind of hard to figure out what to upgrade and where and when?
No, I think it's not so. I would say from the start, I was imagining what the game at the end will look like. So it was always in my head, like this permanent upgrades. And yeah, we just made it, and maybe it makes a little bit easier to balance it, the game, because in roguelite game, if some difficulty is too hard for you, you can always like grind a little, so you can buy some upgrades that will make the game easier for you.
Yeah, people love their roguelites, that's for sure. But there is some there. I've played a couple of roguelites that are definitely similar to Drill Core, not obviously exactly the same. So I want to ask what type of inspirations were around for Drill Core, if any. I imagine some people have compared it to games like Domekeeper or Wall World, which are both fantastic on their own. But did anything help inspire this game?
Yeah, sure. Domekeeper and War World are great games. I really love the concepts. But to be honest, I know that everyone comparing us with this game. But to be honest, it wasn't the main reference. It wasn't a reference at all. At some point, it became some reference because, yeah, size of blocks are inspired by these games. But the concept war was inspired more by Kingdom, Two Crowns, if you know this game series. I love the idea, because after Black Skylands, we decided that we need to make something not so complex, not with open world, something simple and addictive, so the player can play it 100 plus hours and enjoy it. So there will be, it needs some systems that you can use not once. So roguelike game is perfect for this. And I was inspired more by games with indirect control, like I don't remember. It's all games. Dungeon Keeper, if you know.
I've heard of that one. I haven't played it though.
Yeah, it's an old game, but it's really unique in its that's gameplay. So yeah, I think the main reference was The Kingdom, because it's simple, it's addictive, and yeah, I really like the concept of the game. But yeah, Drill Core doesn't look like Kingdom at all. But there was a lot of concepts before the Drill Core. I can show you, and I'm not sure if I can show you. I can share my screen to show you.
That'd be awesome to see if you want. If there's anything you can share,
yeah, let's do that. Why not? Because when I'm when I love some game, I really love to like know the history of this game, how it was made, what was alpha look like, beta, etc. So it was started like that. It was. The very first concept was like that. So you have some platform, and yeah, this looks like Dawn Keeper. So you're building turrets on the top of your shaft, and there you build buildings on these platforms. So there was on the sides of the shaft, and there was. In the very first idea, there was no workers. There was drilling machine that you manipulating with. So you are saying where to go, and then slowly it was evolving, and it was like that. Yeah, you were drilling with this thing. And you're with your workers, you're drilling not down, you're drilling
to the side, sides. It looks like.
Yeah, yeah. It's the first prototype. Yeah, and then slowly I came to this idea. My brother actually helped me with it a lot, because we discussed with him, and he was helping with some ideas. Yeah, I'm helping him with his game too. So yeah,
I can show the evolution.
Yeah, I can show the pitch that we were pitching to. Wait a second, to Tiny Build, because yeah, we are working with Tiny Build. We're like more like a Tiny Build studio. We're not like separate thing, so we can't work with another publisher now.
So you're like in a contract with them for long term.
Yeah. So we still, if you want to develop a new game, we need to sell the idea to the publisher. So we need to still need to. What is the word? Make the concept and show it to the publisher. Wait a second, I want to show you some concept. I've made the whole site for this.
I'm very excited for this game. Even just showing me the little concept stuff like this, it makes me even more excited because I personally loved Domekeeper. Now, obviously, they're completely different games, but this game just, it just hit perfectly for me.
So, yeah, I would love to play this game too, to be honest, if I wasn't a developer. Because, yeah, it's simple and it can, like, you're enjoying and you're, there are, not often I play the game and I forget about time. So RealCore, one of these games. So this was our pitch. Yeah, this was our pitch to TinyBuild. It's closed, so no one can see it. So yeah, this was like the first concept of graphics. It was a little bit more darker. There was, I don't know, orcs or something. So there was a ladders. I wanted workers use the ladders, but then it was too complicated. So yeah, this one, there's references, Kingdom, Domekeeper, and Majesty. Yeah, this game with indirect control. Game features. It's like simple explanation of the core gameplay.
Oh, and then you have the roadmap right there. Did it say a full release in 2025, or was that an early access 2025? Yeah. 1.0 already? I'm excited to see that.
No, it's not true. But probably, I don't know. It's for a publisher. It's not
you had to hype them up on it, sell them on it.
Yeah, it's very estimated. So, year release, we did earlier.
Yeah, that's definitely earlier. It comes out, as this is recorded on August 31st, comes out September 12th. Oh my goodness.
That was a prototype.
They look like little turtles. Little mine, the little collectors.
It was pretty simple, but the main idea was there. And someone in our studio played this prototype for like 10 plus hours.
And TinyBuild was all for it when they saw this?
When they played this. Because
they were all for it.
Yeah, they played, they really like it. And they said, let's do this game. The TinyBuild CEO, Alex Nishporch, played this game and he really liked it. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're developing this. As a Black Scans, he really liked the Black Scans.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. It's really fun to see the history of a game because I obviously don't have any development history or any skills like that to program, even make art. But seeing the game evolve like that is just, it's always so fun for me to see that type of stuff.
Yeah. I really loved those stories too. I love the StarCraft first story and they showed first alpha. It was looked like Warcraft in space. And then it was evolving.
Now, with the game coming out pretty soon into early access, I imagine TinyBuild will probably do all this, but what type of strategies are going to be there for marketing for a new game like this? Or is that just all TinyBuild's worry to do because they're the publishers?
Yeah, it's a publisher job, so I'm just I know everything, almost everything if I want to, so I can ask a producer of the game what we are doing for marketing. So, but I don't do anything in terms of marketing. So the main focus on the YouTubers, I think.
No, those YouTubers, definitely. Do you also agree YouTubers. That like content creators, I asked this to RubyDev and they agreed, but YouTubers and content creators are like the best friend for indie developers and all that?
For sure, 100%. Because what instruments do we have beside this? Because yeah, there's not more, not much.
I would ask before you got published, but you've been lucky to be published. If you weren't published with Tiny Build, let's just say you were making Drocore with the small team that you have, what would be some marketing strategies that you would implement to get the game seen by as many people as possible?
I would reach out to YouTubers.
That's it? That's all the YouTubers and Twitter and all that?
Because I don't know. Yeah, what else I can do? Because
That's true. This just email YouTubers. That's all, that would be my best strategy as well.
Some posts on Reddit, Twitter, etc. But it doesn't have that impact that YouTubers gave.
Now I saw in Discord, the Drocore Discord, that if you have Black Skylands in your Steam library, you get like a moth named Luma as a carrier. Yeah. Is that a permanent addition for anyone who buys Black Skylands? Or is it just like a... Is it just a permanent thing? If, say, you buy Black Skylands after Drocore, do you still get the moth if you want it?
Yeah, you can buy Black Skylands in any moment. But I made this... there was no purpose to Drocore players buying Black Skylands.
Yeah.
Rather, it is a pleasant surprise for those who have played it. So if you don't want to play Black Skylands, then you definitely shouldn't buy it for the sake of Luma. So yeah, it's more like, I love when games, when developers, publishers have... references between their games, between their lore or something. So it's one of the references in one our game to another one game, our game. So there are several references in the game, like one of our resources called Swarmlit, and this resource is from Black Skylands.
Interesting. So I want to do another question that's related to Black Skylands and Drocore. We may have covered it a little bit, but you would say it's been easier to develop Drocore because Black Skylands, you said, was open world, which is not an easy thing to do, I imagine. It's even easier to develop Drocore compared to Black Skylands since you changed the game maker and it's not open world and more roguelite and all that.
Yeah, Drocore is much, much easier to develop than Black Skylands. Black Skylands is a huge game, and yeah, we was working on it 5 years, and to be honest, it's not... We did a lot of job. We did, I think, a great game. I really love it. But yeah, there's a space for something more in Black Skylands. It can be better, but it became too... expensive and doesn't give us such feedback in terms of money. So we just can't afford it to continue developing Black Skies.
Well, the game is also fully done, is it not? I mean, there hasn't been an update for a while, but it did release out of early access. But let's just say Drocore is the biggest success in the world, which I think it's the game I'm most excited for in September. Let me say that. Do you think any other dreams beyond Drocore in terms of game making?
Sorry, I don't really understand the question. Can you repeat it?
Oh, just like a dream game that you would want to make if Drocore a major success.
No. Black Skylands was...
Black Skylands was that?
Game. Yeah. I don't have... I have a lot of concepts. about 20 on, or yeah, 20, 25 concepts.
Oh, wow, that's a
game.
Lot.
Some of them are easier, some of them are complex, but yeah, I love the game development and making games. So yeah, when the time will come to develop new game, I think, I hope we'll make something.
I mean, you have 20 to 25. I try to think of a single game. Maybe you have the developer brain and I don't, but I think I just like try to think of the concept of a video game and I just can't think of anything at all. But I guess you just have to pick some inspirations and build upon something with that.
Yeah, it's, I think it's when you're working as a game designer, you're thinking other terms, other way. So yeah, at the beginning you have a lot of ideas. You want to implement everything in your game. But when you're making games, I don't know. I'm making games 5+ years, so I don't have this feeling like I want this, I want this, I want this. This concept is cool, I want to try it. Because I know that, yeah, some concepts are good, some are bad, but I found this concept, so Drill Core, I'm making this, and I'm focusing on this.
100% focus on that.
Yeah, 100%.
Before diving into something else.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about other games. Yeah, it's like some stopper in my mind when I'm trying to think about games. I'm like, no, think about Drill Core.
Yeah, make Drill Core as good as it can be, have the perfect early access, update it regularly.
Yeah.
I guess that can lead to another question with early access. I saw that you had like a small roadmap for the publishers. It's obviously you need that, give them an idea. But do you already have like major updates planned in your head for Drill Core and what to add and potentially what to like nerf if something's too strong?
About nerfing, yeah, we will balance game during the early access. I know players don't love balancing too much.
Yeah, I imagine there's already been a lot. I've noticed that there's been a lot of demos and play tests for people that are like in Discord and whatnot. I imagine those have been very valuable, being able to get some feedback before releasing to the public.
Yeah. Players really, really help with everything, with quality assistance, like they're finding bugs that we can't find as developers. And they talking about some balance things, like this one is overpowered, this underpowered, and because when you're balancing the game, yeah, you're doing some Excel shits, but it's always in game, Excel not always works, I would say. So yeah, you need to test it always, because there are a lot of different situations, different approaches, you know. So yeah, we're balancing in Excel, and then we're listening to our players.
And you guys were part of the Steam Next Fest back in June. I do think you were one of the most popular games on the Steam Next Fest. Do you feel like the amount of people that played it then was like the most valuable time? And do you feel like people wishlisting the game and all of that will have a major impact on their early access release?
I really hope so, but it's not my first game, so I know that it's not always works like that. So even if you have a lot of wishlists, because Black Skylands had a lot of wishlists. I don't say that Black Skylands isn't a successful game, but the problem more that development of Black Skylands was the cost was really big. And so It was a main problem, I think. So drill core, not so expensive to develop because we're a team of five people. So yeah, but you never know. So I'm not like, it's finished, it's successful, just wait for release. No, because
it's work in everything... time always, just to make it the best.
Yeah, players can like forget about it really fast, and or something else will release on this date on September or something else. And yeah, everything, it could be anything. So
there is a lot of games releasing in September, a lot of indie games. You're right between What the Car and Plucky Squire to me, because What the Car is the 9th and then Plucky Squire is the 17th.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping for a good release, but who knows?
I firmly believe this will be a great release as someone who has played the demo with the Steam Next Fest, and I would highly recommend anyone to play the demo, especially if you're a Domekeeper fan. You will have that feeling. But I think those are all the questions that I have. Thank you for coming on and sharing your insight with me and sharing the prototypes and just talking games.
Thank you.
Make sure, if you are listening, make sure you guys follow Drill Core on Steam. Wishlist it. Buy it with the early access coming out September 12th. And follow them on Twitter and all that. Anything you want to end on, Cons?
Try Black Skylands and Drill Core.
Try Black Skylands and Drill Core. Buy their games. Wishlist them, buy them, gift them. They're a great time. Thank you for listening to the second episode of Interview in Indies. And if you want to support the show on Patreon and get the episodes early, you can do that there. Thanks for watching, everyone.